Traditionally, we celebrate the arrival of New Year. But in the beginning of this New Year, India is a country united in grief and anger against the brutal rape and murder of a young girl. On this special episode of Your Call, I'm joined by a very special guest, the one man who can perhaps give us some sense of peace as we try to comprehend the brutal happenings around us, His Holiness the Dalai Lama. It's a time when in India there's a great sense of grief and anger because of what happened to a young girl. What would your message be, Your Holiness, at a time like this?
Of course, firstly, such incidents are really very, very sad. Very sad. Now, India, huge country, and with long history, and I think very, very civilized cultural heritage. I always feel, also saying people, India, they at least 2,000 to 3,000 years, the culture of non-violence, ahimsa, there in modern time, during freedom fight, difficult period, as the Indian leaders used to follow these 1,000-year-old your principle. Then also religious harmony on the basis of mutual understanding, also very much alive. So now I think all picture of India, I think the material development with modern education, you see, increasing or develop, that's very helpful, very necessary. But at the same time, people, or particularly concerned people, must pay more serious attention. You see, the modernization, including education, and 1,000-year-old your own traditional value. These things, tradition, these things are the basis of moral principle. So now that is lacking. I think a little bit neglected, as a result of neglected. Over 53 years, India is my home now. So the big city, big towns, big buildings, and a lot of cars, a lot of material sort of facilities now much improved. Even my own place, Dharamsala, now last 50 years, is much changed. But meantime, they like these incidents, and also a lot of stories about corruptions, about injustice of activities here and there. So these, now I think people, and particularly concerned people, must think more seriously now how to keep your 1,000-year-old tradition, basically human values. These are very, very important.
As a society, how do we regain our moral compass? I have some questions, Your Holiness, from some young people, protesters, who wanted to ask you some questions. Let's just hear what they have to say.
Right now, in the situation where this girl has died a terrible death because of a horrendous rape, the public is baying for their blood. How do we argue with them against the death penalty, which I am against, and which I think you as a Buddhist are also against?
We see so much anger. People want the death penalty. How do we convert this anger into something constructive?
Actually, my own sort of belief, since I think a few decades, Amnesty International organization, you see, they start one movement banning death penalty. I'm one of the signatory. So that's my basic sort of stand. But then country, case to case, country, I think according to your own law. So you have to deal according to your own law.
You of course are signed, and Buddhism of course is against violence, and you are against the death penalty. Leaving aside the issue of laws in India, many have argued that the death penalty can be a deterrent, or it will make sure that some crimes against women may come to an end, or it can work as the extreme punishment. They've cited Middle Eastern Arab countries where the crime rate is much, much lower. Why are you against the death penalty?
Firstly, of course, life is precious. So ahimsa means respect the precious life. So don't harm. That's the idea of ahimsa. So according to that, is the life cut, life or shortened life is not good. Mm-hmm. But you see, and also it's a form of violence. But you know, in particular circumstances like abortion, basically it's a form of violence. So should not sort of do it, should not implement, but special case, you see, always, you see, exception case, you see, come there. Mm-hmm. So now, the death penalty, I think, some time back, I think, Tihar jail. Mm-hmm. I remember one sort of the police, one lady, police. She tried to introduce some meditation or some sort of, what's the courses.
Kiran Bedi.
Yes. Mm. So that's the proper way. You see, the death sentence means it's a punishment for this physical. It won't help. Look, the violent method everywhere, all over the world, there may be sincere motivation, good sort of goal, but method use violence. So violence always, you see, the result of violence always, you see, complicated, mm-hmm. difficult. Mm-hmm. So therefore, education, and also these criminal people, you see, they educate them, let them think, let them eventually realize their own mistake, and very negative individual, through awareness, with help of education, eventually become very good citizen, can be. So that's the proper way. Mm-hmm. That's my view.
How do you keep your faith in the fundamental goodness of human beings when horrible things like this are happening all the time and we can't do anything to stop them?
You see, humanity or human being means over 7 billion human beings. If all 7 billion human beings indulge this kind of thing, then I will lose my sort of faith. This, I think, perhaps I think 5%. I think 95% of human beings, I think, still have, you see, the human sort of nature, affection, sense of concern of others' well-being, still there, in deep our blood. You see, that seed there. Mm-hmm. Now only thing, you see, we should do is now make awareness of these values, the non-violence, you see, respect others' life, helping other people. Actually, the best way to fulfill your own happy life, mm-hmm. harm other people, bully other, including rapping, actually destroying your own good future life. So therefore, all this entirely depends on awareness, mm-hmm. education.
We focus so much, of course, on the problem in India right now, but I also have questions from some young Tibetans for you. So let's just hear what they have to say.
My question to His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama is that Tibet was an independent nation, and now it's not an independent nation. Is there a possibility of seeing an independent nation in the near future?
Many young Tibetans want independence. You have historically the middle way.
Oh, historically, you see, Tibet is a separate nation. There's no question. But look, future. Firstly, look, European spirit of European Union. The people, common interest is more important than the individual, because the individual's interest very much linked with common interest. So one time, Vinu Babaji, mm-hmm. once I met, he expressed concept of ABC. That means A, Afghanistan, B, Burma, C, Sri Lanka, then India, Pakistan. All these countries should set up some kind of federal. So these are, I feel, long term, long run, these are, I think, realistic approach. If that kind of sort of idea materialize, then I think Afghanistan today, I think, much stable. Mm-hmm. And also Bangladesh and Pakistan. So therefore, I also thinking, yes, we separate nation. But, you see, not necessarily just insist on that. So let us try to build, you see, new kind of genuine union. Okay, let us try. If that fail, really fail, then now then you see something different. But so far, our middle of approach brought a lot of support from Chinese people, mm-hmm. mainly Chinese intellectuals. Now after 2008 crisis, we noticed over 1,000 articles in Chinese language wrote by Chinese. All are fully support about our middle wave approach and very critical about their own government policy. Mm-hmm. Now, in any way, this is the solution for our problem. Support from Chinese people, from Chinese intellectuals are very necessary. If you against totally them, that I feel unrealistic. Mm-hmm. Of course, emotionally, yes, many people, many young people say, oh, we are independence, we want independence. They never show us how to achieve independence step by step, mm-hmm. And how much support from Chinese people, how much support from Indian government, how much support from the European Union, how much support from United States. Mm-hmm. You see, not thinking these sort of realistically, just to express independence, that's not easy.
Are you optimistic about the new head, Premier Xi Jinping? Are you optimistic about
that's him? Too early to say, definite. Mm-hmm. But judging from overall picture, you see, for their own interest, they have to follow more realistic approach. Just an sort of unrealistic approach, totally relying on using force, is out of date. More violence, more suppression, more resentment. That's logical. Therefore, I'm quite sure the new leadership, with help of these intellectual people, I think they have to follow more, as things are being stated, seeking truth from fact. So sooner or later, they have to follow the more realistic approach within China proper. Then also, all these so-called minority sort of problems, mm-hmm. like Xinjiang problem, Tibetan problem, Mongolian problem, some other problem, they follow more realistic approach. Mm-hmm. Then, more realistic approach and basically equal terms. Then, in Chairman Mao's time, he really very much emphasized equality.
But even though you retired in a sense, sir, whatever you say is still held as the word of God in a sense for the entire Tibetan community. And many have asked the issue of your succession, and we know that China has made it very clear that they want to decide. You said that let us see what will happen, the process of reincarnation. Some may say that you even may appoint somebody before your death, which has never happened before. Are we going to see? What is your view on this?
That, I think, 2-3 years ago, I made very clear, after sort of thorough discussion with head of Tibetan Buddhist tradition, different tradition, occasionally we gathered. So last few years, few occasions, we discussed about the future of Dharma institution or reincarnation. So then, I think 2 years ago, you see, we actually made one sort of statement with sort of full sort of the agreement or consensus with all sort of leaders. So the essential thing is around my age, now around 80, late 80s, around the 90s, then I will discuss with concerned sort of people and then finalize. So one time in America, this is some sort of media asked me about my reincarnation. Then I take my glass and look at his face, judging my face, my reincarnation is quite sort of hurry or not much. Then he say no hurry.
No hurry at all. But of course he said, who knows, maybe it's a woman. That may be
actually
a nice break.
Actually, as early as 69, my formal statement, one statement I mentioned, the very institution of Dalai Lama should continue or not up to 20 people. That's the principle. After 10 years or 15 years, if the situation is such, the majority of Tibetan people feel now the Dharma institution is no longer much relevant, then the institution automatically will cease. No problem. In case people, concerned people, majority of them want to keep this institution, then the question, how to carry the successor, that also is either say follow the traditional way or like some senior sort of Tibetan lamas, they sort of appointed their sort of successor. That, and reincarnation also is in Tibetan history. And even today, this is some reincarnated lama is actually appointed by the previous life while still alive. He chose to sort of serious sort of investigation, the mystery way of investigation.
Yes.
Then they found some children quite fit, you see, for their successor. So then appointed.
But China will make this an issue of control, because I think
that, you know, I think mainly political reason. Now I already retired, so this, you see, quite popular 14th Dalai Lama also now
yes,
retired already. So 15th Dalai Lama, in case, you see, may not be such sort of important in the political field. So then their interest actually is not much reasons. So sometimes I jokingly telling people, in the past, some Chinese emperor actually showing interest about, you see, some high Tibetan lamas. At that time, the emperor themselves are Buddhist. Also, you see, some emperors actually receiving teaching from some Tibetan lama. So some spiritually special relations. So then naturally, when their lama passed away, the disciple, you see, showing some interest, some involvement, that's naturally, you see, possible. Now today, something different, purely the political reasons. So then I jokingly telling people, the communist, firstly, should accept the theory of rebirth. Then, according that sort of belief, they should choose Chairman Mao Zedong's reincarnation, then Deng Xiaoping's reincarnation. Then logically, they have some right to involve about the Dalai Lama's incarnation.
You are seen, sir, you represent God to so many people. The Chinese will describe you in very different terms. You've been described sometimes by them as a demon,
yes,
sometimes as a Lama who wears Gucci shoes.
Oh, yes.
How do you see yourself?
This, okay, when Buddha's time, some people very much criticized about Buddha. Even Buddha, Jesus Christ also sometimes find a difficult period. So that's normal. Mm-hmm. Some people. And you see, my case, I think those Chinese officials. Actually, I met one Chinese retired official. He told me, some Chinese officials who described me as a demon, that is Chinese retired as a person, you see, told me that statement not come from his heart, but compulsory, but instruction. Mm-hmm. So simply, you see, read what you see, that person, you see, received instruction. Mm-hmm. So the person who give this instruction also, I think, do not really believe that, but political sort of reasons. Mm-hmm. They are really, or say they desperate, find out scapegoat, mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. So I usually say, telling people, yes, they are blaming. Now these, the selves are burning, these people, the Chinese officially, you see, the everything, you see, due to from here. Mm-hmm. I told, if, you see, they blame on me some help to reduce, you see, this problem, then I'm happy. But actually not. No.
What would you say to those who see you as a celebrity spiritual leader? The talk of your friendships with Richard Gere, the talk of the fact that you're so popular on Twitter. They say that you're a celebrity also, more than a spiritual leader. What would you say to those people?
That also, I don't care. No. Some people say, God King. Nonsense. Some people say, demon. Nonsense. When the announcement, first time announcement about the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes.
I think 89. So some of the media, a lot of media people come, ask me, what do you feel? And I told, I'm simple Buddhist monk. No more, no less, no differences. So still, I'm like that.
You are God for so many people, Your Holiness.
That's their view. If they believe, if they get some benefit from that view, okay. If those people who consider me as a truly demon, if they really feel happy, okay, doesn't matter.
I have some questions for you, Your Holiness, from Kolkata now, so let's travel there and see what they have to say.
Hi, I am Raja Guha from Calcutta. Sir, I have a small question for you. As for the recent newspaper reports, the Chinese police has been blaming the Dalai Lama India for the self-immolation and the various incidences which are happening in Tibet. What will be your take on that?
Yes, I received, you see, this information. You see, I really, in deep inside, I really feel laughing. That's the indication of their sort of really face desperate. They really feel, they really find it difficult to explain outside world. And also, they put a lot of restriction about this information to their own people. Mm-hmm. I usually use it. Now, these days, I always is mentioning, when I met some Chinese, 1.3 billion Chinese people have every right to know the reality. Then once the Chinese, 1.3 billion Chinese people, once knows the reality, they also have the ability to judge what's right, what's wrong. Therefore, censorship is immoral. Fooling their own people. Let them know whether good or bad. Let them know. Let them judge. That's very, very important. Then, second thing, the Chinese judiciary system must, or say they promote or uplift it up to international judiciary system. Mm-hmm. Then millions of Chinese poor people really get some protection. So these two things, I think, are very, very important. So therefore, it's a censorship. and the, what I say, the distorted information. I already mentioned, you see, I think those people who make these sort of, or say the sort of false statement, they themselves know these are not true. I understand. I was told after you see the People's Daily, you see, mentioned all the sort of accusation to me. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of response from Chinese people, Chinese some intellectuals. They say a lot of sort of negative expression to their own newspaper, mm-hmm. like that. So therefore, it's okay, doesn't matter.
But the tragedy of these self-immolations, mm-hmm. Your Holiness, initially there wasn't a clear indication. There was silence because of the feeling that this was also for a cause they felt very strongly in. You have afterwards condemned it. But many have said, the Chinese argument is that this violence, is self-immolation, is completely against all Buddhist tenets. Do you condemn it? Would you ask people to completely stop? How do you actually see the people who have killed themselves in these self-immolations? Do you see them as martyrs? Are they martyrs for you?
That's, strictly speaking, from Buddhist viewpoint, ultimately depend on motivation. Mm-hmm. So case to case, we cannot say, generalize something wrong or something right. We cannot say. Depend on individual's sort of motivation. So that we don't know. But in any way, last year when this first sort of happened, that this sort of, I was in Japan, and I told, now, time come. The Chinese government must sort of carry thorough investigation. What the causes of these sort of sad event? These events are symptom of some causes. These people, these Tibetans, of course, I feel very, very sad, very sad. But you see, these people carrying these such sort of very, very tragic sort of decision. Mm-hmm. Actually, not due to drunk, not due to family problem, but I think through generations, at least two, three generations, they really suffer a lot. So, now in order to now say something, I have to something to offer them, then I can say, but I have nothing. So just, you see, another sort of Tibetan, really, you see, feel very sorry and some sort of prayer, otherwise I can do nothing. I cannot do anything. That's the situation. So the Chinese government can do. Mm-hmm. But they just simply, you see, blaming on other. It won't solve the problem. No help the problem. So I think, still I feel, now time come, they should start thorough investigation, what is the causes of this event. Then they have to think more seriously about these things.
95 people, the number actually is so large. Do you see, would you appeal to them not to do this? Would you appeal to those, young girls, monks do this. Would you appeal to them not to do this?
Yes, as I mentioned earlier, my position is very, very difficult. Firstly, this is very much sort of political sensitive question. Already our political leadership already expressed right from the beginning very clearly. We never sort of encourage such act. But at the same time, if we have something to offer them, then I can say, oh, you should not do this. You see, we can do this way. Mm-hmm. Nothing to offer them. Then fooling them. Say, I think someone really, you see, very, very painful, then ask doctor or concerned people, now please, I cannot no longer bearing, you see, this painful sort of experience. then please carry or call mercy killing. Mm-hmm. Then, you should have Vasudha continuously the pain. I should not do mercy killing. Like that situation, very difficult.
Do you feel that as a diplomatic issue that countries like India, like the US, must do more on this issue, must put more pressure on China for this? Because presumably the people who are killing themselves are frustrated, feeling that the Tibetan movement is going nowhere. Do you think that there must be now more global pressure and also pressure from India?
No, there are, I think, many countries publicly or behind the scene. It seems they already sort of pursuing the Chinese concerned sort of officials or concerned leaders. The India also, of course, after all, this is a Tibet issue, also issue of India. Mm-hmm. And actually this boundary problem still there, And historically, I always say India is our guru. So sometimes I telling my Indian sort of the audience, we are your chela, you are our guru. So you see, when chela have some problem, guru also have some moral responsibility to help. So in any way, I think Indian public, right from the beginning, I always remember, like Jayaprakash Narayan, mm-hmm. and Ajay Kripalani, and all these Mr. Chakla, mm-hmm. MC Chakla, all these. People really come forward about the Tibetan problem. Then all Indian leaders always showing us their real sort of concern. Then, but meantime, how much India can do? That also realistic sort of question. Mm-hmm. There is limitation. Even United Nations or United States. Also, sometimes they face some limitations.
So, just some questions now, Your Holiness, from Bombay.
Hi, I'm Tanya from St. Xavier's. Being such a great world religious leader, I want to know what are your thoughts on the spread of religious terrorism around the world today?
It's a clear sign. People, generally, I think, are very much lacking about moral principle, including those people who say, I am follower of this religion or that religion. Suppose they are a believer. Judging their act, I don't think these are serious believers.
So you don't believe Islamic, the words Islamic terrorism, Hindu fundamentalism. Mm.
Every religion, mm-hmm. like Christianity, Islam, different Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, Judaism, all these. So all talks about compassion, forgiveness, tolerance. And everybody say, human brothers, sisters, mm-hmm. like that. So therefore, these people, not only today, but even past the history, use name of religion, but you see, involve some violent matter or some difference of things. You see, these are actually, their aim is economy reasons or power, political power. So simply use name of religion. So they manipulate religion. So I cannot sort of accept, you see, these people who carry some violent sort of activities in the name of religion. I think that they are essentially non-believer. There is too much emotion. If it's a genuine sort of believer of God or Buddha, then they must implement compassion, forgiveness, tolerance. Then no room, violence, mm-hmm. like that. So therefore, these are, but basically that also is, you can't blame these people. Our whole way of life, I think, see, the atmosphere too much self-centered sort of atmosphere. Don't care about others' right. And then, you see, they, even those religious people, compassion, forgiveness is simply lip service. Sometimes I publicly is telling people, unless we become very serious, unless we be serious, otherwise religion teach us practice of hypocrisy, saying nice thing, doing something different, totally wrong. Mm-hmm. Essentially, these are non-believers.
Hello, I'm Tanya from St. Xavier's College. My question is a little of a personal nature. I want to know if you've ever felt any kind of self-doubts or if your religious views have always been that the ones they are right now.
Buddha himself stated, "Oh, my follower should not accept my teaching out of faith, out of devotion, but rather thorough investigation and experiment." The scientific way of approach. So all the Nalanda masters, like Nagarjuna, mm-hmm. and Aryadeva, Aryasanga, Buttapalita, and Chandrakirti, Dharmakirti, Dignak, all these great sort of masters of Nalanda. Even Buddha's own word, they carry investigate whether this Buddha's sort of statement literally acceptable or not. So they always based on logic and experiment. So therefore, I follow, you see, their sort of the pattern, their tradition. For example, the Mount Meru, many Buddhists believe that. Mm-hmm. Actually, some Buddhist texts, you see, mentioned Mount Meru. Now I am no longer accept that.
Really?
Yes. I hope I still Buddhist. So we have liberty. We must accept the reality. The round world. Now, scientifically, you see, actually, through calculation, through sort of observation, we actually see that. So the flat world and center Mount Meru and sun and moon go like that. That's, you see, against our actual experiences. As a Buddhist, you cannot accept that. Basically, you see, like Four Noble Truths, True Truth, and the concept of interdependency, mm-hmm. the Sanskrit word Pratitisamupant, mm-hmm. very scientific. So more sort of experience, more sort of talk with scientist or non-believer, you see, my sort of belief, the interdependency, interconnectedness, which is Pratitisamupant. You see, my belief, my faith increasing. Many scientists really fond is in that concept. Everything interdependent. Mm-hmm. And due to its own causes and conditions. Law of causality. That's Buddhist sort of Buddhism and Jainism. The basic sort of concept is law of causality, no creator. Of course, the creator's religion, theistic religion, based on concept of creator, that also wonderful. Very effective, very powerful. That approach also very good. But Buddhist approach, Jainism is a different way of approach.
But besides the faith in Buddhist teachings as well, sir, you were discovered as a reincarnation at a young age of 6. Mm. You're now 76, I think. Mm.
Now 77.
Huh? Now 77. Oh. You've seen the world. Did you ever think, you described yourself as a simple Buddhist monk, did you ever think that maybe one day you would be something different or you could have been something different, your life could have been different?
What do you mean, in future?
No,
In
this life, in the last 70 years, from a 6-year-old boy to 76, any self-doubt on the path you're on?
No. I think more meeting, more sort of interact with Jesus people, including my sort of best friend, with family, mm-hmm. a lot of problems.
It's similar this way.
That is sort of great sort of the consolation. Okay. When I saw, you see, those my friend, It's a lot of trouble.
the fighting.
trouble about the global issue. That's okay. But trouble due to little things here and there.
No nagging wives here. So that's one positive.
So the celibate is a way of life. Oh, really very good. Very helpful. I really believe that. Okay. Even in my dream, I always remember I'm monk. Mm-hmm. I never felt in dream I'm Dalai Lama. Mm-hmm. I always feel I'm monk, mm-hmm. Buddhist monk.
You said, Your Holiness, over 50 years in India. Oh. Anything Indianized about you? Any particular Indian food you like? Any particular
Indian
you like
dal?
Indian music? Indian dal?
Oh,
yes.
Indian chapati. Actually, recent sort of years, I describe myself as a son of India. Mm-hmm. And one occasion, some Chinese, overseas Chinese sort of media people, you see, mm-hmm. came to see me. Mm-hmm. And one Chinese, actually, you see, asked me a little bit seriously, why you mentioned you are son of India? Then I told, he thought, I think the political reason. Mm-hmm. Maybe he felt that this is political reason. Then I told him, look, my thought, my brain, every cell of my brain filled by Nalanda thought. That is ancient Indian thought. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then my physical, then that's about three, four years ago. So then I told, last about 50 years, this body survived by Indian dals, Indian rice, Indian chapati. So therefore, mentally, physically, I belong to this country. So I call son of India.
That's wonderful, Your Holiness. And final question tonight from someone, I don't know if you know, very famous Indian ethical corporate leader, Mr. Narayan Murthy of Infosys. He has a question to ask you.
Dalai Lama ji, my question to you is, how do you define success in life?
Meaningful? Meaningful means we are a social animal. 7 billion human beings are social animal. So when we judge other sort of mammals as a social animal, one individual is taking care rest of the community, we feel good. Oh, that's right. One individual always fighting, we feel unhappy, although we are not part of them. Then look at ourselves. We are social animal. In any way, we born on this planet not for create trouble or suffering. Therefore, if your life, no matter how rich economically and educated, materialistic education and power, if creates more problem to other, then your life is really waste. If your life, at least some benefit to other, some service, like some Christian brothers, sisters, mm-hmm. they totally dedicated their life for well-being of other. And some Ramakrishna worker also used to do that. And many sort of spiritual believer as well as non-believer really dedicated their life for well-being of other. Their life is meaningful life. So, at the end of their life come, the last day come, they feel happy. Oh, rest of my life, I really dedicated well-being of other. I never create any enemy, any trouble for other. Other hand, one billionaire, too much self-centered attitude, bully other, cheating other, then at the end of their life, they already know this money, power, no longer any use, then feel regret. Rest of my life, I really create trouble for other, bully other, cheating other. Then at the end, that person, I think most probably will be very unhappy, helpless person. So I consider whole life dedicate well-being of other, then that means fulfillment of your life, whether there is creator or not. There's a fulfillment of your life. So I believe serving other people as much as possible, that's the right method to fulfill your life and becoming meaningful life.
Your Holiness, a wonderful message for 2013. Thank you so much for joining us on Your Call. Thank you.